Welcome to the Leader Manager Coach Podcast, your weekly podcast where we take a deep dive examining knowledge, philosophies, wisdom and insight to help you to lead, manage and coach in football, sports and life. Leader Manager Coach is presented by Rob Riles. Rob is a qualified coach with a League Managers Association qualification and a science and medicine background. He has worked in the football industry in Europe, USA and Africa at international, premiership, league, non-league and grassroots levels with World Cup and European Championship experience.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Lead and Manage Your Coach. Welcome to the podcast. It's Rob Riles welcoming you to another programme. Now today we are going to enjoy a conversation with a gentleman called Paul Lowe. Now Paul is from the East Midlands in the United Kingdom, and I got to know Paul recently through his work and through the podcast community, and we connected, and there's a lot of similarities between Paul's work and the philosophies that we believe in Leader Manager Coach. And we had a conversation, and we cover a great deal. We cover a lot about the analogies between the game of football and sport and life. And Paul's actually written a book about the subject, and we talk about the game of life in depth. We talk about some famous quotations from some great people that we both admire, and we talk about how the game has been a teacher for us, and how it is a teacher for anybody involved in it. So we cover an awful lot, and I really thought it was worth sharing. So this is a conversation with Paul Lowe. If you want to check Paul's work out, if you put him into Google, Paul Lowe, and his website, his work is called HEARTS, which is HEARTS, which is helping everyone achieve results towards success. Well worth checking out. Have a look at Paul's work and see if it floats your boat. But here we go. Here's Paul Lowe. Enjoy.
Welcome, listeners, to this Speaking From Our Hearts podcast, where we're going to adopt a slightly different approach today, because on the guest, if guests is the right word, actually it's not, the co-host, that's the word I was looking for, is Rob Riles, a fellow coach. What we're going to do between is, just for something different, we're actually going to we're going to host each other's conversation, and we're going to be talking around two coaches speaking about the game of life. So Rob, very, very warm welcome to you.
Thanks very much, Paul, and I'm looking forward to this innovative process that we're going to go through. So I'll let you kick off with it, but great to be with you.
Thank you. Right, so kick off, very appropriate metaphor. Right, where do we start then? Where do we start to kick off? So the game of life, Rob, I know we've had a sort of previous conversation where we spoke around the parallel, the similarities, if you will, between, you know, the game of life and the game of football, which is what you're involved in. I mean, before we go any further in terms of that game of football, do you want to just share with the listeners what your specific role is in that respect?
Okay. I've been involved in football all of my life. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in the professional side of the game. And, I've worked at Premiership and an international level. I've been blessed with opportunities to do so, and I've also thoroughly enjoyed working at grassroots with people who do it for the love of the game. So I'm currently working with the Bangladesh Football Federation as one of their national coaches. So that's me. I've loved the game since, like millions of people, since I was a kid, and yeah, I've been blessed with opportunities. So, that's me. And I love coaching. So, there we go.
Mm. One of the, again, Rob, for the benefit of the listeners, one of the former conversations we had was around a certain Mr. Bill Shankly, wasn't it? And his statement around, and the jury's still out, I think, across the world, even after all these years, about whether it was tongue-in-cheek or not. But his statement that football's not about life and death, it's more important. And we had quite an interesting conversation around. I mean, what's your thoughts around that, Rob?
I think that just a tiny little bit of background, I can't help but say that Bill Shankly is probably the top of the tree for me in terms of heroes. And he was a guy who completely mesmerized me as a young man, and still I hold him in such high esteem, like many other people. And I think, Paul, that probably that quote was one of his quips that came out, and actually at the time he meant it to nail home a point. And you know, Bill's famous for really not having anything else in his life, which ultimately people say led to his death, because once that football had been taken away from him, he turned to playing football with kids in the park. And even when he was away with Nessie, his wife, in Blackpool, he'd organised some fellas out of the hotel to come and play in the car park. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But although he died of a cardiac arrest, he died of a broken heart, really, because once the game had taken away. So to him, it was as important as that. But knowing the man and knowing his principles and understanding where he came from, I think if we questioned him now, Paul, and said, you know, go on, take it to the nth degree, put yourself in this position, put your head on the block, would you think it's really more important than life and death? And I can categorically say, as far as it is possible to speak for somebody else, he'd say no. But I was just making a point.
Yeah, very interesting one, though, because that point has certainly captured people's imaginations, Rob, hasn't it, for decades. It's still a talking, but we're talking about it now. I mean, all the things that we could talk about, you know, it still merits a quality conversation around this whole philosophy of, you know, whether people agree with it, don't agree with it. It's still a very, very, very strong talking point throughout the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's because of the power of sport to change people's lives. And obviously we are particularly talking about football here, which, you know, its popularity doesn't need me to underline it. It's, you know, talk about, you know, a sport that's universal. It is up there. And it does change lives. And when you, we both have experience of football at certain levels, Paul, and we both know how it affects people and how it dominates people's working lives. It dominates their social lives. It dominates their sporting time. Kids are brought up with it. So it really does have that importance for people. So, yeah, it's no surprise that a quote like that still brings people to comment on it and discuss it.
Yeah, another, I suppose, cliche, and not that I'm saying Bill's was a cliche, it was certainly a very, very strong, philosophy is, is and a strong talking point, as we've just alluded to. But another one, which is definitely a cliche, a game of two halves, Rob. Is life a game of two halves, do you feel?
That's a great one, Paul. And you know, I wanted to bring out your background from your book that you wrote, which when I heard about it, I thought, wow, you know, I've not really thought of it that deeply. But I think it is. It can be certainly viewed as a game of two halves, because, you know, and again, we both spoke about this, Paul, didn't we? And again, you can kind of expand on this, because I think, you know, you've got probably a lot more depth of thought on it than I have. But one of Wayne Dyer's quotes that I remember is that he talks about going into the afternoon of your life with a kind of dignity and a different way than you were when you were that warrior in the first part of your life. So if we look at it at that, you know, and it's probably a little bit of a masculine way of looking at it, that, you know, we set out in life, don't we? And we get out, we pull the swords out, we get into the gym, and we want to take the world on. And then we kind of, and again, I think this has came from yourself, Paul, you know, about the age of 40 or around that time, we kind of maybe take stock, and might be a challenge that comes along, and we kind of possibly, hopefully, have a a little bit of a different approach as the physicality changes in a human being, and we maybe develop the little bit of the wisdom side, if I can use that word. But what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you've kind of summed it up there, Rob. In the football sense, to use the football metaphor, in the first half, we're busy players, aren't we? We're running around the pitch of life. We're learning things. We're learning lessons. We're chasing goals. We're chasing those external goals. And, the metaphoric half time is as we're getting a bit older, and I think the kind of line in the sand, the general thought is around, as you say, the 40 mark. I don't see how you can generalise on things like that, but, that's another discussion. But, yeah, around that 40 mark, the metaphoric whistle blows for half time. It's like, yeah, okay. Now I've learnt all these tactics, all these strategies. I've learned how to manage myself. I've learned how to manage others. I've achieved some great goals. I think it's time for me to go out in the second half and actually become a manager. And that, for me is a great metaphor. And certainly when I did my first book way back in 2000, which started out as a bit of a giggle, I called it The Game of Life. Yeah. Halftime Reflections. Yeah. And it was about exactly that, somebody that had spent the first, the first 40 years of his life running around up and down the pitch, not really getting anywhere, because for every goal I scored, and I did score a lot of goals metaphorically, but I also had this self-destruct button that would say, right, okay, now go and put it in your own net. So, and that's what I did consciously, which got me in a lot of trouble, because when you're sabotaging not only yourself, but actions that affect others, for team in this context, Rob, read family, close friends, relationships, because of this confusion, this selfishness, call it what you will, this whole kind of self-destruct button. It ceases to be about yourself, and your actions, putting the ball in your own net, are impacting a lot of people and made me very unpopular. But I didn't really understand why I was doing it. And I think until you've got that level of awareness and that emotional and spiritual maturity to actually say, now I understand the rules of the game. Now I understand what's really important. And for me to be an effective manager, coach, chairman of a football club or any club for that matter, I need that maturity. I need that emotional maturity to be able to control myself, and that spiritual maturity to get that higher power, that energy, call it what you will again, from a higher source. And that's, for me is the most vital relationship of all. When we talk about the power of relationships, from your teammates, well, for me, the most powerful one, Rob, is that one with source. And that is the most intimate one. And, that's going to be different for all of us. That's only my story. Other people have their own game plan and how that unfolds.
Yeah, so do you recall, if we carry on with that, the analogy for a little while, do you recall who, if there was one, then there may not have been one, who or what was the manager at the time of that halftime team talk? Or was it there was not one? Was there more than one espouser of knowledge, if you like?
Great question. And whilst there was more than one, because the positive role models, the coaches, the mentors in my life, or the masculine energies in that respect, were a complete and utter waste of space. And I'm being polite there. I'm being quite diplomatic for the sensitivity of the listeners.
Yeah.
And but there was one certain guy that was involved in football, and he came to Nottingham Forest in 1975. In January 1975, he was there for 18 years. He lasted quite a while. So for me, that influence was Brian Clough.
Yeah.
Do you know what was interesting, Rob? And I love this question. I think it's a brilliant question. Because what I loved about Cluffy was I felt like I knew him so well.
Right.
And I'd never met him. But I knew, even from a child, you know, I was 15. Well, actually, I was 14 and a half when he came to Forest in January 75. Because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't 15 until that, you know, 9 months later in the October. So, but his influence was immense. And I think it was because I was looking for that male role model, that father figure, if you will, that guiding light. Call it what you will, because in my real world, my family, like, they just didn't exist, because my own dad was, less than credible. My stepfather, you know, it's in my book, I refer to him as the Beast. You know, that's been well documented about his cruelty, his abuse, his barbaric treatment of me and my mother, his sadism, and that's a strong word. In fact, it's not strong enough. So, you know, these were my influences, my perceptions of males that were supposed to look after you. Well, all I got was violent beatings, and watched the, you know, one of the people that I loved more than anything in my life, i.e. my mother, take the same, trying to protect me. So I was looking for that. I can't remember turning the clock back, Rob, looking for it. But, you know, somewhere along the line, I knew I was. And Cluffy came along, and I just resonated with his style. But I resonated in a way that I've later understood. And there's a great lesson here for all of us, that we wear a mask. And somehow I felt from a very, very early age, even as a child, and I didn't have the intellectual capacity then to rationalize it, Rob, but I thought, what is it with Clufford? There's more to him. I don't know what it is, but what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, I like it, I love it, but it's kind of not real. It's not real. It's not who he is. And you know, the reason I knew that, Rob, is because that was the lie that I was. I'm not saying Brian was living a lie. I'm not, you know, I'm not drawing a comparison there. But I was living a lie, because I'd created this brash, arrogant, you know, this real sort of alpha male type personality, this real strong masculine energy. Get in first, win at all costs. Don't take no prisoners. And I'd created that. But for me, what that was a complete lie. And that was a smokescreen for saying, really, I'm hurting so badly and vulnerable and insecure inside because of the upbringing. I can't take anymore. So please don't come too close and hurt me. And I kind of, rightly or wrongly, felt that was, I don't know, I just resonated something with Brian. And when I got to have conversations later with the family about, you know, his external persona of being this brash character and who he really was, my earlier suspicions, if suspicions is the right word, Rob, were confirmed that actually he was the most loyal, soft, warm, loving family man that you could have come across. And it was a real eye-opener. And I'm talking about some good few years later, because how I come to have that connection with the Clough family was the year after Brian died. And I wrote to them and said, look, you know, I'd like to throw my weight doing around a big celebration dinner, because I was organising a lot of events at the time with a lot of sports people. And this is personal for me because of the effect that he had on my life. You know, this is not a commercial entity that, you know, I do for a living, like organising a golf day or a black tie dinner. Yeah. This is really personal. And it would mean so much to me if I was able to say, do you know what, Brian, thank you. And, you know, the family did give their approval to that. We had nearly 600 people there at that event in November. I think it was November the 22nd, 2005. There was a lot of people from the world of football, past and present. A lot of the Forest European lads were there. Clive Thomas, the ex-referee, he was there. The legend that will always be in my heart, called Dave Mackay. And I'm not talking about his football. I'm talking about a man that, for me, was just, you know, if ever I could have, with hindsight, Rob, created an avatar of the perfect father figure, role model, call it what you will, it would have been a hybrid between Dave Mackay and Brian Clough, because I think they were colossal men in their own right. The integrity of Dave Mackay for me was unquestionable. The chats that we used to have with another football legend, Jimmy Cyril. I mean, Jimmy was a, you talk about, you know,
Notts County.
Yeah, in Notts County, and that Glaswegian, down to earth, you know, the way Shankly did. They for me, they were two guys out of the same pod. Football, 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 and that was it. And I, you know, and so to listen to people like Jimmy speak and Dave Mackay in the pub over a tipple was, you know, I think it's one of the few occasions, certainly in them days, Rob, where I actually listened to people because I was very fond of my own voice. But when those guys spoke, boy, did I listen, because the experience, the wisdom that they imparted was, you know, diamonds could not buy that.
No, what a wonderful story. I could listen to you telling me or anybody about that kind of story all day, because obviously I've heard of Dave Mackay, you know a little bit about his playing career, because he was one of the top players, obviously, and heavily linked with East Midlands clubs, but I didn't know about his personality, and it's really amazing and really great to actually hear firsthand that actually, because this is what we're talking about really now, isn't it, that beyond the game of football into the game of life, he was a standout player there, which is a wonderful story, and lovely to hear somebody who's personally been involved and has had that trust with somebody. And yeah, Jimmy Cyril, I mean, you know, we're talking about, this is a little bit of like a football supporters podcast, I suppose. You know, but hey, where it's going, but people like Jimmy Cyril, you know, blimey, you know, absolutely, Paul, a chip off the old block for Shanks, because, you know, football, and actually, you know, the rest of it is irrelevant, really, probably to him. But lovely story, mate, lovely story.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about the way this conversation's evolving, Rob? I mean, maybe we do make it around, you know, the similarities, the philosophies of life, because whether people actually understand, like, dislike football, I think in many respects is irrelevant, because it is representative of a far bigger game called the game of life. And by mentioning characters and talking about men, in my humble opinion, of the highest integrity, good, solid family men with grassroots values and principles, you know, real backbone. I mean, I can remember having a conversation with Dave around that iconic picture where he got Billy Bremner by the scruff of the neck. And he said to me, Paul, I hate that photo because it portrays me as a thug. He said, I wasn't a thug, but I didn't, you know, I wouldn't let people bully me because I hate bullies. And you could see his body language changing that. Do you know, I resonated with that so strongly, Rob, through my own understanding of life, because the beast was, well, to say he's a bully is like giving him a knighthood for doing something good. That was certainly not complimentary. I'm being polite yet again. But just on the Dave one, I'd just like to share this interesting, you know, so injecting a bit of humour into the conversation. So myself and Dave used to, we used to go on functions, and we'd usually end up in a little village where he lived, which is not a million miles away from where I was living at the time. And we'd end up in this country pub and we'd get a lock-in. We'd get back maybe about midnight, back, knock on the back window, let us in, and we'd be there till maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and singing and just making merry. Let's leave it at that. Yeah. And where Dave lived was maybe 200 yards from the pub. So this one particularly early hours of the morning, maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning, Rob, we're worse for wear, you know, a couple of giggling drunks and singing. Anyway, we got to about 10 yards from Davy's house, and he stopped me singing. He said, Paul, shh, shh, stop, stop. I said, what's up, Davy? What's up? He said, listen, come in for a coffee, but don't tell Isabel where we've been. And I thought, do you know, and I said, Davy, I've got to go home. I cannot He said, no, I'm serious. Don't tell her where we've been. And it's like, you know, we can hardly stand up. We're jovial. We're happy. We're singing. We're dancing. And yeah, Stevie, I've got to go because I can't come in and kick. And I think, do you know what? I think Isabella worked that one out for herself, you know. But, you know, just a bit of humour on many stories.
Yeah. Great, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because there were characters and, you know, I suppose the big commonality here, Robert, as I say, is whether, you know, it's the beauty of a conversation. There's so much sort of deeper lessons here, isn't there, as I say, you know, whether the listeners can relate to this conversation because they're football people. And dare I say football people of a certain age, because, you know, I think unless you're kind of, you know, flirting certainly past your 50s, you may have heard of Dave Mackay or Jimmy Cyril or Brian Clough, but you I think that's all it's going to be. I think you've got to be a certain age to actually, you know, connect to that. But that's in many respects irrelevant, because the principle here is, you know, about surrounding yourself with good, honest, solid people, isn't it? Whether it's on a football pitch or whether it's on in the game of life.
Yeah, and your stories are wonderful, and I get the fact that they resonate with people of my age. I mean, I could just sit here and listen to stuff like this all day long, all night long, because, you know, the stories of your Billy Bremners and your Leeds of the 70s and Cluffies and Shanks and Jock Steen, again, you know, somebody who's you know, reported to be an absolute icon of a man mentally, you know, as well as is beyond his ability to create teams, and the Lisbon Lions, you know, the Celtic story, and but these are people who I can feel it as I'm speaking to you, you know, the hairs on my back of my neck are standing up just talking about these guys. And we obviously use these people as our guides, as our mentors. And you know who maybe this now in the game today, and who or are there the same type of role models? You know, and I'm not sure there are. Sure there are role models, but whether they're people that we would aspire to think, you know, there's something there that's worth following, that's above and beyond the game, which we didn't know at the time. I think we were lucky that, you know, feel very blessed to have lived when I do live in this era, because of the, not only the football, but, you know, some of the sporting things that went on, the boxing and Ali, and, you know, the great cricket side, the England and the West Indies games and both them. And, oh, you know, it's never ending. But these were people, you know, role models of the highest order, you know. So, yeah, I think we were blessed. And the lessons, as you say, go far, far beyond their abilities to do what they did, either in the ring or on the pitch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, there's great learning there, dare I say, particularly for our younger listeners. And I suppose it's, you know, no apologies really, Rob, for repeating that lesson, but surround yourself with people that are going to, you know, support you and help you achieve your goals and help you overcome your challenges. And you know, that is absolutely... And it might sound such an obvious statement, but I think we all get kind of sucked into, you know, chasing the ball, for want of a better term. And it's like, did I really do that? Am I really involved with this person? And we all make mistakes and that. But I suppose the, you know, what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is, you know, okay, so you've made a mistake. Learn to forgive yourself. You didn't do it on purpose. We're learning. You know, a lot of us still are. You know, that first half player, and there's no judgment with that. That's fine, because we're all playing different roles in the game of life. You know, some of us do change over and become managers, a chairman. We build football clubs. We have visions around that. And other of us are, you know, quite happy to do whatever. And there's no right and there's no wrong. It is what it is. And we're all following our own path. And I think that's the secret, Rob, isn't it? You know, whether you're a young aspiring footballer, and I certainly will with some of the lads in the Nottingham Forest Academy. But what I used to say to the guys is, look, you may make it, you may not make it. In many respects, that's not relevant. What is relevant is the fact that you go out there with integrity and you go out there with a good heart. And that principle applies the same in life as it does in football. And there's no distinction between the two.
Absolutely. you know, you've nailed it there really, Paul, for me in terms of that. And I think, you know, the only thing that I've got to be careful, it's not probably not the only thing, but possibly is the only thing, if you boil it down, the only thing that really matters in terms of what I do and the way I act is that I act in alignment with my own ideals, so that I can put my head on the pillow, irrelevant of the outcome, as long as I can put my head on the pillow and say, I've done my very, very best today. And, you know, the fact that this happened, doesn't matter, because you can only do what you can do. And as long as you're happy, and because you're on your own path, and it's you know, it's when you're pulled, isn't it, by other people, and you know, and you get that feeling in your stomach that actually this is not me doing things that, and I'm not comfortable with, you know, although I'm not talking about out of your comfort zone, I'm talking about things that, you know, don't fit with who you are. So I think it's a great point. And I think anybody who has got, you know, like if we just use Cluffy, or we use Shankly, or we use Muhammad Ali, or we use Dave McKay, you know, I'm sure to a man, all those guys did what was in their heart. They weren't doing something that they didn't like. They were doing what they were here to do, and following their own dream, if you like.
Yeah, it's so in terms of, you know, the game of two halves, but I suppose another angle to look at, you know, whether we play football or how we play in life, for me, Rob, is, and, you know, yet again, I know we've kind of had this conversation, but is what kind of player are we? You know, we've already alluded to the bigger picture of, you know, in the second half, you might become a manager, a coach, a chairman, whatever. But actually, coming back to the first half, what kind of player are you? You know, what kind of mindset do we have? And I think that's important, because there's a school of thought, and I've got kind of fluctuating views on it personally, around how you do one thing is how you do everything. Well, one size fits all. I can kind of understand the philosophy behind it. Not quite sure I agree with it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that this, you know, as a player, in my early days, I was very cynical. I was a defender. Yeah. I was very defensive. I later spoke and befriended Brian Stubbs, the ex Notts County legend. And Stubbs, he said to me, he said, you know, in my day, when I played under Jim, I had, as a centre-half, when he played alongside Dave Needham, I had a saying, thou shalt not pass. He said, and you're not passing. And I kind of understood that. Well, not kind of, I did fully understand that. That was my philosophy to life, that, do you know what, world? I might not win, but I ain't going to lose. And actually, I am going to win at all costs. And that reflected the turmoil and the chaos that my own life was in, Rob. And I think there's a great kind of metaphor there for how we all play. You know, where are we at in the game of life? What's our outlook? You know, are we creative, attack-minded players that want to go out and achieve exciting new goals? Or are we entrenched in our own half because we're crippled with... Well, you know, I'm not saying Brian Stubbs was, but certainly for myself, I was crippled with fear. And for me, this very defensive front that I wore was absolutely a total lie to who I really was inside. So I think there's this whole thing about, what kind of player are you?
Yeah, and I think that analogy can be expanded to look at, you know, hopefully, you know, you could look at, okay, so you can look at that, the flair and the attacking thing and the looking forward and the positivity, if you want to give it that kind of slant, and then the defensive side of it. But also you've got the team players, haven't you? You've got the captains or the role models, the ones who pull teams together, which emphasizes relationships. You know, whether it's a Steven Gerrard who galvanized Liverpool, or whether it's, you know, was it Dave McKay kind of thing? Because I'm sure he was that kind of guy. And lots of teams have that. And, you know, one of the things that has been a hard, long lesson for me, and I keep relearning it, is how important relationships are. I was brought up to, if you want something, you get up and you go out and get it. You do it yourself. You get it. That was that was what my home life was. You know, I was blessed. There was, you know, a completely different home life than you were subjected to by the sound of it. And you know, but there was none of this interdependence where, you know, you look and help somebody else and they will help you, and you know, 2 + 2 = 7 kind of thing, the synergistic thing that you get with, you know, two cart horses can pull 10,000 pounds each, but put two on a plough and they can pull 30,000 pounds worth of weight.
Yeah,
kind of thing. So
yeah,
I think that's been a massive thing in terms of teams for me, Paul.
So, you know, whether it's wearing your sort of official football coach's hat, Rob, or, you know, as a mentor in life, you know, for me, I don't distinguish, because I've been brought up with that philosophy, and I've done, you know, for me, my philosophy around life is around football. Although, yeah, I think it's fair to say I have fallen out of love with the game, but I've certainly not fallen out of love with life. But those lessons, yeah, I learnt in football, I'm now carrying forward in, you know, yeah, that are standing me in really good stead. So from your own point of view, Rob, I mean, what are some of the kind of the real strong principled messages, whether it's as a football coach or as a mentor in life, call it what you will, what would you pass on to the world? What would they be?
Some of the things that are important are, you've already mentioned it, the word integrity, and which to me means doing what it says on the tin, really. There's some kind of famous product that says, you know, we do what it says on the tin, and I think it's a great thing. You know, if somebody said about me, yeah, he does what it says on the tin, I'd be quite pleased with that, and I think it's a great starting point. So integrity is a great one. Honesty, and I think that's quite linked, isn't it, with integrity, that trying to be honest in life and tell the truth and act truthfully in terms of, you know, how you should act, even when nobody's looking, or certainly when nobody's looking, because that's the real test. If you think you've got a chance of getting away with a shortcut or whatever, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. And I think if you can bring up young players, men, women, boys, girls, to have integrity, to tell the truth, blimey, I think you've got, if you can achieve anything towards even just those two, Paul, I think think you're doing okay there. So yeah, that's kind of how I, you know, so that if they walk away from the pitch, and whether, like you've alluded to, that whether you make it or not, you know, hey, you've taken something from this. It's not been wasted, because you're not making your living from the game, but actually the lessons you've learned are going to make you a lot of difference in your life. So anything for you, mate, on that? Any characteristics from you, or
yeah,
similarities?
And you know, I mean, blimey, we could be here all night. You know, there's literally hundreds of different angles we could shoot from on that one, Rob. But there's one that sticks in my mind, and I think it's very appropriate in light of mentioning a certain legend. And isn't that an overused word today, particularly in football, that word legend? But certainly some of the names that we've spoken about, Rob, I don't think legend is strong enough to, you know, to describe these, you know, and I'll say gentlemen. But it'd be this, and it is going back and attributing to Bill Shankly, and it's about the simplicity of the game. I watched a video recently of Bill Shankly, and I mean, talk about visionary before its time. You know, it was in the 60s, old black and white film, but he was talking about simplicity in life and simplicity of language, and it's like, don't use three words, just use one.
Yeah,
you know, and all this, just be, you know, just tell it the way it is, and in as few words, and don't use all this fancy language, and don't, you know, and it's like, it was ahead of his time. And, you know, certainly I think visionary could be thrown along, you know, with the labels that we call legends that are sort of, you know, some of the characters that we've mentioned, Rob, but it would be that simplicity. And the reason I say that is this, and it kind of nicely segues into the very first podcast that I did, and it's called Mastering Life, as simple as ABC. And I believe it is. And I always ask this question, you know, of people, of guests around, you know, is mastering life really, is the game of life a simple game? I've got my very, very strong views on that, and it's categorically yes. I think we as players complicate it immensely, and I speak from personal experience about the, you know, the way I did that through my confusion and the, you know, the limiting beliefs that I'd been fed and the tactics, you know, to use the football metaphor, that had been bestowed upon me. And it's about stripping that away. So it's the simplicity. And the ABC is the A for awareness, because our starting point for anything is, well, what do I actually know? There's no judgment on that, because we don't know what we don't know. Hence, we need somebody to teach us. The B is around the belief system that we have. Interestingly for me, Rob, I had this belief system that I would play football for Nottingham Forest. And it gave me that reason to carry on against all the odds as a kid, when everything you know, around me was falling apart. I didn't make it as a player, as a professional player. But what's interesting is that intention, and this is the power of intention, that I will represent Nottingham Forest Football Club. Well, in those days, I thought it was a player. But when I was 38, I actually entered their academy, because I was doing a teaching degree, and started working with some of the best talent in the land as a mentor. So yes, it was all those years later, but my, you know, my wish came true, albeit, you know, a quarter of a century later or whatever it was.
The universe has a strange way of working, eh?
And then the C is the creativity, because it's thinking about things differently. So I think, like mastering life and football, I'd love to be sort of, you know, wouldn't we all, knowing what we know now, that wisdom, but be a, you know, a young kid on the pitch again, knowing what I know now, because I'd certainly like to change the game of football that, you know, they call it the beautiful game, Rob. I'm not so sure anymore. I think it's lost that. To be careful what we say here, but there's a lot of cheating, there's a lot of conniving. I think money's ruined the game. These are just my personal views, and I get sickened by it when, you know, when you're setting yourself up as a chairman that's, you know, creating a football club of life to play on one of the biggest stages in the world, called, you know, in the game of life, and then you see all this, well, cheating, and it's, there's no other way, it's downright cheating and trying to get fellow pros sent off and play acting. And I'm thinking, God, you seriously need to, you know, I'm sounding judgmental and egotistical now, but that shows how strong my views are, that you seriously need to be, you know, held accountable for this, because you're influencing young minds that's watching your pathetic behaviour. And personally, Rob, I've got no time for it.
No, absolutely. And I think that it's one of the things that personally I'm very, very strong on, and it's something that I make a stand about, that, you know, it's about acting in alignment with principles, not at the expense of, you know, winning the game or not, you know, because sometimes when you win, you lose, and sometimes when you lose, you win, and it, within that, it's about acting with integrity, and that's all that matters to me. And I do know that people, not everybody I work with understands that and actually thinks I'm wrong in that. But that doesn't matter, because it's only important what kind of I believe, really, in that respect. And but I get exactly what you're saying.
So on that contentious note, Rob, didn't kind of intend to finish on that kind of passionate note, but I mean, listen, isn't the game of life, isn't the game of football about passion and directing that energy towards achieving life enhancing goals? And I think you know, what I'd like to do for my part as part of this team, Rob, is thank you immensely for being part of that conversation, because, you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Hopefully the listeners, as part of, you know, the part of the team, have enjoyed the trip down memory lane from two coaches. Yeah. So it's over to you, really, Rob, to have the last word on whatever you deem appropriate.
Well, thank you so much for asking me back onto the podcast, Paul. I know we've had a previous conversation, which was really, really, really great. And we've got so much in common. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, and can talk about stuff like this all day, just up my street. So, like, I echo your sentiments and hope the listeners get get out of it as much as well, certainly I have anyway. I hope you have too.
Superb. Thanks, Rob. And then all that remains now, as I put that metaphoric whistle to my mouth, is to say, listeners, please remember, whatever you do in life, always walk your path with heart.